I like to refer to my co-op partner in a bundle. So we do a lot of cuddling and and rubbing chests.
Oh, cuddling is enough.
So, Ethan, would you like to bundle with me?
Rephrase that. I'll action pack with you. I'll bundle with you. I'll item group with you. But. Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast from HorribleNight.com. It is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2011. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, gamer tag, J Devil. Joining me tonight, we've got Ethan Moses.
Heyo!
Josh Lee.
Huzzah!
And Brandon Coppernoll.
Hi.
Lame.
Well played, well played. We're actually going to take tonight to get caught up on our game queue and find out what everybody's been playing, but also take a little bit of a spin because I'm starting to stress out about our game of the year discussion and how in the hell are we going to get through these games. So we'll kind of talk through what games we've been playing and what games are next in our queue and what game we might not get to. And so you can ridicule us and help us make wiser decisions with our very limited time here in the rest of 2011. But before we do that, we will start the show off with our game industry shoutouts, where everybody's picked a news headline or something going on in the game industry that was worth pointing out. Then move on to our random on-the-spot question from if Hiddle can actually come up with it in time. Who knows what's going to go on there? Could be crazy. Then talk through all the games we've been playing, wrap the show up with HorribleNight.com updates, and then take a little bit of a break and come back for off-the-topic discussion for our threesomes of the week. And let's get rolling here, gentlemen. Game industry shout-outs. Ethan, take us to a fantastic place.
Fantastic place indeed. So there's a lot of news about Skyrim out there because apparently that's a popular game and supposedly a very clever PC gamer figured out that both Cyrodiil and Morrowind from the previous Elder Scrolls games are somehow accessible from Skyrim with a no-clipping code, which would lead us to believe that maybe, I don't know, there's some DLC out on the horizon. Now, do I believe that you'll be able to play the full expanse of both those areas? Doubtful, but it's always cool to kind of think about that kind of stuff. Kind of reminds me of that little island that you find in the beginning of GoldenEye, you know? Everybody wanted to get to it. What was on that side? Really nothing, but it leads your imagination going, you know?
I just like that people are out there literally exploring the corners of the map, and the article I read on this was like, and then as a true PC gamer, once he reached the edge of the map, he turned on no clipping and kept going, and that's how he discovered the other maps. I actually hope they don't really answer this question anytime soon. I hope Bethesda just kind of lets it sit out there, and you know, we can all have wild fantasies that we'll get more continents in the next expansions, but it's still kind of crazy. I have no idea why they would model all that stuff, but hopefully it pays off big time.
Well, they didn't just like model the land though. You know, from what I read, they have the golden tower, the white tower.
Yep.
You know, right in the middle of Cyrodiil, all up, and that really excites me. You know what actually interests me is, wouldn't that set a whole new level of precedence for DLC?
Oh yeah,
it was on the disc.
But well, adding a whole new level of a game that right now, let's face it, DLC just generally sucks. And it's like, oh, now I can wear pink armor today. Yay, I paid 800 Microsoft points. You know, and now if they really go in this direction, you're getting a whole nother continent, country, kingdom to go through. And that's that's amazing.
It's a little bit better value than the horse armor.
Well, yeah. And Bethesda made a point and kind of, you know, I liked a lot of the Fallout downloadable content, but they kind of made a point that they don't want to do just the DLC. They want it to feel more like expansion because there was a lot of Fallout 3 expansions that were throwaway, you know, and New Vegas as well. I mean, I think there was far less, you know, solid DLC for Fallout New Vegas as compared to Fallout 3, and even looking at Elder Scrolls, I mean, again, they had the expansion, and it's on the tip of my tongue at this point, but again, that was awesome. I mean, they added a whole lot of new content. I think that's what people want. Give us a little bit of time, you know, don't throw it at us in a month. Give us about 6 months, you know, we'll all still be playing this game anyway, and then really, really tease us, you know, give us something cool, tickle us a little bit, you know?
I don't think you're going to see this turn into the ability to adventure around Morrowind or Cyrodiil or anything. I don't think it's going to happen, because besides the White Tower was in there, but besides that, yeah, there wasn't really anything else modeled. It was just there weren't even trees in most of the places. It was just the land masses, which I can't think of. Why would they do that if it wasn't ever going to be seen? Because you can't see it from the map outside of a certain point. But just to like map out those things, like, I'm guessing that didn't take a whole lot of resources. But here's the other thing is, if there's no, like, that stuff, there's no more data than that in the game, most likely, because that was it's like a 5 gig game.
Yeah.
It's tiny. It's like actually super tiny comparatively, you know? So it's not like they're going to have like room for other models and architecture and stuff like on the disc, basically. So if that's not there, then I don't see like how this is going to turn into more, I guess.
Well, I think that your negativity just means that you need to be playing more Skyrim. I think you would have a more positive and fantastical outlook on the world if you're playing more Skyrim, because once you get in there and realize anything is possible, you never know what these guys had planned. Or
it's changed my life.
Let us dream. Let us dream. I think evil Josh Lee and good Josh Lee have been replaced by melancholy Josh Lee tonight, so...
Let me play some Smashing Pumpkins for you.
No, yeah, no more dreams. No more dreams, anybody.
What wizard do we put melancholy Josh Lee's face on? I'll come back to that question.
The guy from the Fifth Element. I don't know.
Brandon, how about your shout out?
My shout out goes to Nintendo for responding to PETA's claims that Nintendo's this new Mario 3DS game that's coming out, that the Tanuki suit is encouraging kids to wear fur. First of all, it's just ridiculous claim by PETA, and I think it's just been in a slow week for them, so they were really reaching out there. But it was great that Nintendo came out and just said, you know, Mario's been doing this forever. We've been frogs, we've been penguins, balloons, even a robot, essentially. So yeah, there's nothing else more to that. And what's great is the community's really kind of taken it. And Dorkly ran a video today that totally plays off of that and has Mario walking through the lands talking about the Tanuki suit and how they preserves Tanuki wildlife. And the whole time he's stomping down all of the animals from the games and catching the fish on fire, and he's like, that's just ridiculous. And right at the end, he completely curb stomps a Koopa Troopa, and it was very well played, very well done. So my shout out is Nintendo not just idly sitting by and letting PETA just run with and just putting them down pretty quick.
Dorkly has entertained me quite a bit this year. It's been a nice little discovery.
Yeah.
Josh.
There was a. I saw this today. I think it might be a couple days old as far as press releases go, but Stardock announced that their games are hitting Steam. As of today, you can buy Sins of a Solar Empire, which is a really good 4X space strategy game. It's on sale, $15. You should pick it up. This is kind of like on a really small scale, probably what happened, you know, like when Sega started putting their games out on other consoles or something, because Stardock was originally, they created Impulse, which was trying at least, didn't do very well at it, but tried to kind of compete with Steam. And they have had all their own games on Impulse, and then they started getting third-party companies onto Impulse, and it was its own platform. And they did stuff like Galactic Civilizations and Demigod, and then they had a couple games that didn't do real well, like the was that Elementals of War or something like that. But then GameStop bought them. So GameStop's game, like PC downloading service, is Impulse. I think they probably just have all but like wiped out that brand name by now. When the last time I was on their download section, I didn't see it. But this is good for everyone because Stardock does make some good games, and they have their strategy stuff, like Galsiv and Sins of Solar Empire and stuff, were really good. And Demigod wasn't actually too bad for like a MOBA, but you know, boxed MOBA, it doesn't apparently equal a whole lot of sales. So, but yeah, that's all their stuff is hitting Steam. So more options for Steam gamers.
Is that other service going away completely?
Well, no, I mean, GameStop swallowed it up so that they could use it. I mean, they wanted it because they wanted to get into the PC digital distribution space.
Right, but
they needed some kind of software to do it, some kind of platform, distribution platform.
Oh, okay, so they didn't care about the games, they just wanted the technology.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, cool. They didn't care about any of the games on there.
Well, it's fun now that, I don't know, in the PC download space, I feel like there's an enemy now with Origin, so it's fun to cheer on Steam and have a reason to. And that's kind of been my take on some of these stories of more games coming to Steam is always a good thing. So.
Yep, because Origin sucks.
Yep, that's right, Ethan. I gotta simplify it.
Black and white.
Yeah.
It could be no gray.
Speaking of very important battles, I am torn. This is a very serious issue that Ethan, I think you'll appreciate. That this
I'm on edge. I know what you're about to say.
Such a big deal. Well, one of our crew has fallen last week. Cole actually caved and bought a Nintendo 3DS, and I know for a fact that I'm the next one to fall.
Well, and point out that Cole's not on the show today as well.
Oh, that's so probably what he's doing.
Correlation between that, yeah.
He's still playing Ocarina of Time, like in.
He's trapped in 3D.
He's probably dressed in that 3D from the screen right now.
Are we all trapped in 3D? Anyway.
I'm not. I function in 2D. It's really tough to drive.
Watch out for those wind gusts. Yeah. But the one thing that has kind of weakened my resolve against the Nintendo 3DS is that they announced a Zelda 3DS that kind of black and gold with Triforce and Zelda artwork all over it. Looks really, really cool. And so I've been thinking about getting that at some point. But the thing is, I don't really have a draw to Ocarina of Time. Like, I replayed that game when they re-released it on the GameCube. I don't feel the need to rush out and get that game. And the 3DS bundle that comes with the Zelda package comes with Ocarina of Time. They're also releasing a Super Mario 3D Land 3DS package. And they have a red 3DS to go with that. But I want nothing to do with that 3DS. So they haven't made the bundle for me is my problem. I need the Zelda 3DS with Super Mario 3D Land for that bundle price. And Nintendo has fucked me over again.
Well, and Best Buy has those bundles for $180 on Friday.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And you could just sell Ocarina of Time.
Could I?
Yep.
To all those people we know with 3DSs that don't have that game?
Well, eBay.
I just think bundles have a negative connotation. Bundle to me is like cuddle. You know, it's like the same thing. I know it's not the same thing, but it's like the same
thing.
You
like cuddling.
I do like cuddling, but not with my video games. I don't want a video game bundle. I want a video game chest! You know, like a battle chest. You know what I mean? Why can't they say that?
So you're a Blizzard fan.
Well, yeah. No, I mean,
when I hear chest, I think of cuddling.
Like a soft chest, but yeah, bundle. Come on, buy handheld games that are aimed at children when they're called a bundle.
They're from Nintendo. I was gonna say the bundles actually make me think of my NES because it was a bundle with the Zapper and Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, and that's how consoles are supposed to be sold with a Mario game called
an action pack.
I think they did.
I like that better. The 80s. You could literally, I would buy a 3DS if it was offered to me in an action pack. You know, I would buy it in a second. But I'm not going to buy a bundle. Not going to do it. A bundle? Come on. It's like a Vittle stick. You know what I mean? You're both, I'm not going to do that.
You're both the least susceptible to marketing and the most susceptible to marketing. All right. On the spot question time. Ethan, where are we going with this?
Okay. I'm going to have to explain this one, or maybe not. What good game that you enjoyed did you buy this year that you wish you hadn't because it makes your backlog that much longer?
Oh.
Aren't we all going to have the same answer for this?
Well, I think so.
The answer cannot be Skyrim. I'm already throwing that out there.
It's the only thing I've played since it came out.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's tough.
Pass.
Does anybody have anything besides Skyrim? Because we'll talk about Skyrim like for the next year.
Skyrim.
Okay, Skyrim.
I was going to say Skyrim too. I may throw in Dungeon Defenders on that just because that game has distracted me from numerous big titles. So yeah, definitely have to throw that in. Terraria, I think, is one that definitely needs to be put in there because I put a hell of a lot of time into that. Yeah, but this question is not just posed to me, I guess. So
for me,
for me, it's Assassin's Creed Revelations, just because Skyrim is looming, over me, that I feel like I need to knock out some of these other games first, and it's keeping me from getting into Skyrim, which I feel like I just want to move away into Skyrim and never come back.
my story actually starts last year because my first, I'd say the first quarter and a half of the year was swallowed up by World of Warcraft. So I was a little bit, my backlog got off to the wrong foot in 2011 because I was pretty hardcore with that game through at least February into March. So
yeah, we tried to help you. We really did try to help you.
Hey, the site didn't go down. That was the major accomplishment.
that is true. Yeah.
So yeah, the World of Warcraft expansion.
You know what? Honestly, I Skyrim may be the only game I've played. I mean, for besides like an hour, Battlefield 3 the other night. But that doesn't mean I actually had a lot of time to play games. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I had time to get into, like 3-4 games in the last month. I just,
what about like no earlier time. In the year? What were you playing earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I really never have this problem. I think I do a pretty good job of balancing the game time around between different stuff because I play so many things multiplayer, and so I'll just be like, it's about just playing with other people, so I don't necessarily care what I'm playing at any given time. So, besides Skyrim, I don't think I actually got into any, single player.
Are you saying you're a better gamer than we are?
Sounds
well,
like
I'm just,
either that or he's got more friends than us. I'm not sure.
I understand moderation. How about that?
Whoa!
Wow, that was a jab.
That was a jab.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't even understand. I don't even understand what he said. So
melancholy Josh Lee turned into dickhead Josh Lee.
Well, he's always been a dick.
I guess he's back to his old self.
You know what this does remind me of, though? Skyrim is so freaking awesome. Are you kidding me? Why do we have a podcast on right now? Let's just be done. Hey, just go play Skyrim.
Our fans should
do you think I'm actually doing?
Are you really?
I thought of a really good way to share Skyrim with like a bunch of people. You take like 4 TVs and mount them on the wall in like a 4-player split screen kind of configuration. Everybody sit on the couch together, play on their TVs. And then at any point when something cool is happening, you can just say, hey, look at my screen. You don't have to turn around. There it is. We can all just constantly tell. We won't stop telling the stories the whole time. And if somebody has to, leave or whatever, then you still have, like 3 people that you can still talk about Skyrim with, because that's all we want to do apparently at all times.
I would still say, not now, dude. I'm playing Skyrim.
Yeah. I was just saying.
Playing Skyrim.
I'm in. It's gonna be Josh Lee and me, and you'll never see us again. That's fine.
Whose house has a wall big enough for 4 of our televisions?
Are we talking?
I need at least 50 inches.
50 inches? Heyo.
I've got enough inches to go around.
Yes!
I got 52 inches.
Oh. Speaking of Skyrim. Let's dive into the games we're playing. And Josh, since you broke the seal on Skyrim, let's dive into your first game of the evening.
Well, my first game is Skyrim.
What's it like? What game is that?
Oh, my God.
What's it about?
All right. Who here has played the most?
I believe, if Raptor is correct, I have.
What are you at, like, hours-wise?
26.
Yeah, you get me beat. I think I'm at, like, 16 or something.
But I want to tell a funny story related to the way that I play these games. I try to make... I think I mentioned on the podcast last week, I hadn't seen a dragon, and I was, like, I was 14 hours in and level 12 or something like that. And whenever I have an open world game, I try to take a right-hand turn away from the story as soon as possible.
Well, that's the... Yeah, you messed up.
So, yeah. This weekend, I went back and I did like two or three more missions, which opens up basically the story to having dragons again. And now I'm fighting dragons left and right. But it was very weird because I was like 15 levels in and like I thought there'd be dragons by now. And I'm just like just wandering the countryside doing miscellaneous quests. But my
you have to complete the Bleak Falls quest. Yeah. Like I know someone else did the same thing. They're like, where are the damn dragons?
and now it's overwhelming. There's so many of them. So it's just like,
how many have you seen?
I've fought four or five.
Oh, that's I've killed like five or six.
But like four or five in. Like oh, so I went like I went like 18 hours without seeing one, and then I had four or five in like 6 hours.
Have you seen two at once? That's scary.
Wait, there's two at once. See, I was fighting a saber-toothed cat, and then a dragon popped up, and that was intimidating. I can't imagine two dragons at the same time.
Yeah,
those cats are nothing to mess with either.
Found out that dragons apparently like the taste of all other animals in Skyrim more than human. Well, whatever you're playing, I play Nord, but. Because every time I'm in a fight with a dragon and anything else shows up, it seems to break off and start fighting that other thing. But I'm shooting it with arrows mostly until it gets to the ground. But it'll be flying around, breathing shit at me. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's some horkers. Let's go attack them. Like, what the fuck? They're walruses. They're just like sitting there. Why? What? This dragon's an asshole. But I'll use that opportunity to get like... sneak attacks in the butt or whatever I can do.
Yeah, Megan yelled at me the other day for shooting a deer in the ass.
Oh man,
you need the leather and the
That's right. I had to explain that to her.
I've been messing the animals up more so than the bad guys. I'm just launching fireballs at deer and bunnies and
the bunnies. There's a stat. They have like they don't keep track of the other animals individually, but there's a stat just for how many bunnies you've slaughtered.
Oh yeah,
that's very useful information.
My stat's high. Yeah,
I did it. I did it one time, and I felt so bad.
I don't like killing the goats. That's the animal I take pity on.
Where you draw the line, the goat.
I've yet to find a use for the goat hide, so it has no worth to me. So I'll just goats do that.
I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but I kind of wanted to share this just really quickly. I actually got to a scene where I came to a bridge. There was a dead troll underneath the bridge, and then there was a billy goat or a goat wandering from the bridge. And I was like, it was subtle, but I was like, hell yeah. You know, I knew where that was. I'm sure 75% of people won't get that or won't even find that, but I was really happy about that situation.
I don't know what you're referencing. I just like the image in my head.
The billy goat's gruff?
Got nothing.
Really? You guys not listen to watch fairy tale or read or whatever physical medium it is?
Nope.
Fairy tales?
Did you skip the first 5 years of your life?
Is there a video game about this?
No.
Okay.
Well, is now, it in a book?
Yeah. Never mind. Never mind.
Have you played Skyrim, Brandon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You poop sock?
How far are you into it?
I just killed the first dragon, and then kind of like you, I just took an immediate turn from the main storyline and just started wandering around. That game, I swear, this is why I feel like I got to knock out other games. It's like I turn into James Woods from Family Guy. I'm like, oh, piece of candy. I'm just distracted by everything. Oh, yeah. Absolutely everything.
It's too easy.
Distracted by nothing in that game. Like, it just...
Walking around trying to catch damn butterflies.
I wish they had an animation of the guy of your character like jumping up and trying to, you know, clap it into his hands and
then rip the wings off, because that's actually what you keep.
Well,
creepy.
What's everybody? What's the character builds around here? Just out of curiosity.
I've got a Nord that was originally going to go like just big two-handed swords and stuff, but somehow just, and this is the cool part, is since you're not picking a class, you just kind of whatever you end up doing, you can just kind of keep doing that and level it up, or you can switch and it doesn't really hurt you that much. But I'm doing one-handed swords. I'm doing bows. I'm doing sneaking and smithing. And that's like all that I've put like perks points into and leveled up.
What's in your other hand then, if you're doing one-handed swords?
I actually started out with shields, and then like 8 hours in, I changed to dual wield. Oh. Once I got the access to the perk, and I saw that it would swing faster, and since I've done that, I'll slaughter stuff pretty good. Except for maybe somebody real quick can explain to me the stamina bar and how that affects anything, because it doesn't seem to prevent me from doing power attacks, but power attacks take stamina. What happens when it empties?
I don't know. I think you really just
get slower and don't move very fast. Period.
Yeah. You get tired.
I don't know. My guy's still like spinning around like while whirlwind without any stamina, hacking away everything.
Makes you wheeze. It's not comfortable for the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You start perspiring a little bit.
Maybe do less damage.
That's got to be it. It's got to be. It's probably got to affect your damage.
But I start every fight sneaking. I sneak a lot. So I start every fight sneaking and using my bow. I really love the archery.
I love the bow. Like, my problem is I love doing the sneak attacks and doing the one-shot kills with the bow.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see someone on the horizon and I can't tell if they're a friend or an enemy, yeah. I just take them out anyway. I just figure. Yeah. So I've probably killed some quest givers. So
No magic for me, though, either.
So. I'm starting to like the, well, just in general, the setting of things on fire. So I've been experimenting with destruction magic on my, I think I'm going to pursue more destruction magic with my offhand and stick with my one-handed axes and then sneaking and light armor and bow. My character is a red guard. I don't know what that means. I can't remember why I picked it, but I played a handful of hours in Oblivion and realized I hated the game. And I was actually really, really turned off by the Elder Scrolls like narrative and universe up until this game. It's for some reason, it's a lot more easily accessible with Skyrim. I don't know if it's just because the game looks that much better, but it seems a lot more easy to take in. And I was fighting it the last while, but so I don't really have much background with the characters. I just kind of picked Redguard because they didn't look like the default human character, and I don't really like the non-human characters in this game. I don't like the way the elves look or the reptile guys and the cats could still kind of creep me out.
No, if anybody here is playing a cat person, FYI, you're a furry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reptiles not so much. Ethan, what's your character?
There's nothing sneaky about my character. My character is essentially an X-Man with all the different mutant powers you could possibly have as an X-Man. I've got flames, I've got shields, I've got flame shields, I've got shield flames, I've got a lot of flames. Basically, I just shoot fire at everything.
So you're just kind of pyro then?
I'm like a magician, like a damn magician. Sometimes I use illusion, sometimes I bring friends from hell to help me fight, like this flaming creature that shoots flames. Flames basically is what I do. I've discovered though that I'm like really, really good up until I'm out of magic, and then I'm really, really bad and I have to run away really, really fast. But I've got a companion who I named Richard, and he's got a bow and arrow and he helps me out. So I run away and the animals attack him. And then I wait till my magic builds up, or I take a potion, I go right back in, throwing fireballs and all this kind of stuff. My favorite spell is the rune spell that you can actually put on the ground, and it acts as like an elemental landmine. And that's exciting.
That sounds like a techno album. Elemental landmine.
Can you copyright Ethan Moses?
Can you change the name of your characters, or are you just calling somebody else Richard?
I'm just calling him Richard. That's not really his name.
He's just sitting there. You dick, get out of my way.
Yeah, no, he's. Yeah. I call him Captain Richard. He's, you know. former Navy man.
The only thing I know about Lydia in my game is that she likes to be shot by arrows. That's the only thing.
Oh, you're stuck with Lydia?
She's kinky.
She steps in the way all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
My guy did. Richard does too.
I haven't explored too much like how to command them, but it's just like, let me take the first shot, then you can move in, you stupid.
I don't know how many times I've been on like a ledge shooting down, you know, I'm sneaking, I got my bow out, I'm aiming, and then all of a sudden she just backs her ass up right in my face. I mean, I'm sneaking. Yeah. She stands up, gets right in front of me, jams her ass in my face, and starts shooting her arrows.
Yeah.
I think it's a sexual thing.
Well, and Richard's kind of like that, but he like goes balls to the wall. Even though he's got a bow, he'll like run right up to an enemy and then be like, "Oh shit, I have a bow!" And then he'll like back up and start shooting. He's not really too smart, but charming guy, lovable guy. You know,
I'm glad the NPCs seem like they're deaf to Lydia though, because it seems like every time I'm sneaking up on enemy, she goes, "Oh, this doesn't look good." Yeah. Would you shut up? I'm doing something.
Yeah, and then she goes, so, and how does this look as she jams her ass in your face?
Well, that doesn't look too good. That's
this doesn't smell good. There's no soap in Skyrim.
No.
I haven't seen a single bar of soap in all the shit that I've stolen.
There's salt a mod piles, for that. But that really doesn't do the same thing.
Yeah, there's a mod for that.
Brandon, how about your character?
I'm actually running a wood elf. The people you hate, so.
I almost went, if I had to go elf, I would go wood elf.
Yeah, I went wood elf.
Really?
I'm trying to play more of a ranger more than anything, but I'm dual wielding as well. Only when I'm in tight situations. Otherwise, I sneak and I try to get that one shot kill. But like I said, Lydia loves to spoil the party and get in the way. I'm like this close to just saying, you know what? Just stay at home, okay? I got this.
So you guys are all kind of like creepy, you know,
creepy rangers,
peeping toms rangers. That's what it is.
I'm a creeper.
Always sneaking. I don't sneak.
It's so satisfying when you get the double damage, though.
Yeah, I got triple damage now on the bow. There's a perk that gives you 3x. Yep.
It's also fun when like you're in a bandit camp and they start singing to themselves, talking to themselves, and then you shoot them mid-sentence and they're like blah blah whoop and they're dead.
You can't beat that, Ethan. You should try it.
I just watched too many action movies to be able to sneak.
Hey Ethan,
you remind me of my brother. He was the same way. Like he played Assassin's Creed 1 and he just ran headfirst into every battle. He did not ever try to sneak and get the silent assassin kill or anything. He was just running straight into fighting, and he hates sneaking.
Yeah.
What's your character, your flaming character's name, Ethan?
Mr. Bill.
How authentic.
All right, last chance for Skyrim comments. Any final tales before we move on?
So good.
Damn you, Bethesda.
What are you guys all playing on Xbox then?
Yes. Although, man, okay, so I've had good luck with Saints Row, which we'll talk about on my PC, and they promoted that the ability to take your 360 save to the PC and vice versa.
Right.
I'm tempted just because I'm waiting for the 360 patch so I can actually get high-res textures. I don't know how shitty of a version of the game I'm looking at right now, but I've been tempted to make the jump to PC, but that just doesn't seem financially responsible.
It looks gorgeous on PC. I've got everything just blasted and some extra tweaks and stuff in the I9. And it's silky smooth for me, and it's just it's a Bob Ross painting. Like everywhere you go, you stop and look, and the happy trees.
Got happy trees and a happy dragon.
But how about the the user interface for the gamepad. Like I've been really blown away with how well everything works with the gamepad.
I actually use my gamepad on the PC. I like it a lot better than the mouse and keyboard, to be quite honest with you.
After that first they patched it, as I think it might have been even like launch day patch or something, but it got better. Like you can actually click on stuff. You can do everything with a mouse now where you couldn't like right when it came out. If you like unlocked with a Russian proxy or whatever and played it the day before. I thought it was like much improved. over what it had, like, you know, day one. But it it could be all it could be a lot better though. I mean, I was bitching about it there when I first fired it up, because I thought it was just like, how the hell could you possibly release something this off? I mean, it's just, you know, like, really, did everybody that play tested on PC just have an Xbox controller hooked up? Because that was dumb.
That seems to be happening more and more though, right?
It depends on the game. Like Borderlands was pretty bad at that. I thought the interface there was, you know, use the higher resolution of my monitor, you know, to display more shit. You can shrink the text down. I'm going to sit 2 feet from the screen.
Yeah. No, I was impressed with how they did the UI, and that it seemed like more PC gamers were actually using the gamepads, but maybe that was what you were saying is because the PC interface was keyboard interface is kind of broken.
Yeah, it's better now though.
Cool. You know what's embarrassing? It took me forever to learn how to pick something up and move it.
Me too.
Because it wasn't the same as Oblivion. And I'm like, I'm pushing every combination. Then I figured it out, you hold the button. I mean, I was really getting
angry. I really wanted to put baskets on people's heads.
Exactly. I was like, I got a kettle, I got a guy. How the hell do I pick this up?
So let's move on from Skyrim and go to Brandon's game.
Modern Warfare 3, you guys' favorite game. That's what I've been playing a lot of lately. Multiplayer mostly, but I did just finish the campaign. And all I can say about the campaign is it's basically one giant Michael Bay film.
right after
the other. It's lots of explosions and lots of cinematic scenes. But you know what? It paces well, so it's pretty enjoyable. Storyline's probably lackluster. It's not like, you know, not like Lord of the Rings quality, but it's good. But no, the multiplayer, that's really why I stick around with the Call of Duty games mostly, is the multiplayer is a lot of fun with the way we play it, my group of friends and stuff. I don't tend to lone wolf it very often, so.
Let's talk about single player first. I'm just curious. I stopped playing, but I played through Call of Duty. I think I just only played Modern Warfare. Yeah, because I own Modern Warfare 2, but I've never put it in my system. So I played through that campaign, and I know, Ethan, you're a big fan of the single player campaigns in the Call of Duty games. And I know you haven't played Modern Warfare 3 yet, but I just want to kind of get a semblance of comparison between the fun factor of all the single player campaigns. If you take the four major games before this one, Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, World at War, Black Ops, and then if you could compare that to Modern Warfare 3's campaign, I'd kind of like to know both of your feedbacks on like how you kind of rate the other games, and then we can see where Modern Warfare 3's single player campaign fits in. Because I know it's all just kind of like an incremental increase, but I'm just curious, did Modern Warfare 3 go more in the realm of Black Ops for its single player, or is it more closely related to what I know in the first Modern Warfare game?
I guess how I would put it is it definitely seems more Modern Warfare 1 than 2.
Okay.
In the single player. I don't think, you know, I honestly didn't enjoy the Black Ops campaign too much. I felt like it jumped around too much and there wasn't a whole lot of continuity in there. Kind of the same feeling I had with Battlefield 3 is just there was just too much they were trying to cram in there and it just didn't seem like it flowed. This one, it felt like the events kind of led into the next event pretty well, and that made it follow it. As far as fun factor, I think 1 still wins out. But I think it completely overshadows 2. I think 2's was really lackluster and probably more for the shock value in certain parts than actual gameplay. But no, I liked the 3 or Modern Warfare 3's campaign, and I think it's probably not as good as 1, but it's more like 1 than 2.
Okay, well, that was kind of because I know 2 got a little bit more, I guess, Michael Bay-ish, and I know my impression has been that the Treyarch games have been really embraced the kind of more, you know, Michael Bay movie moments than the Modern Warfare games. And I was just kind of curious, like, with everything that's happened at Infinity Ward, if
Modern Warfare 3 started to feel more like a Treyarch game than an Infinity Ward game.
It does have its sequences of Michael Bay.
Okay.
You know, almost every level ends with some sort of chase scene or some sort of action scene, more than just move from point A to point B, shoot your way through kind of thing. But what I liked about 3 was there was more diversity than 2. Like, 1 had a lot of diversity. You had that whole sniper sequence, and you had different things that you got to try to do in a Modern Warfare type setting, unlike 2. So it's kind of a mix, but it feels to me more like the gameplay itself is more like 1 than 2.
Cool. Ethan, does that make you more or less interested in Modern Warfare based on Brandon's take?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that I kind of have opposite views in that I thought I really liked 2. I liked 2 over 1. I liked how the characters were developed. I liked I liked the build up to that because it really made you want to finish the campaign. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what happens with Price and Soap. You know, like that's all I really care about. I mean, that's one of the disadvantages I think with Black Ops is I did think it jumped around a lot, but I kind of like that kind of high kinetic energy it kind of had, and I missed Soap and Price though, you know, in Black Ops, and I was kind of hoping they were going to find some way to fit them in or Ghost or somebody, you know what I mean? I want to play this game. I mean, I do. I'm probably actually going to rent this game because I know I'm not going to play the multiplayer. There's really no sense in buying it because I'm not going to play the multiplayer, but I want to play the single player really bad because I just, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like I you know, maybe that's the meathead in me that loves the single player aspect of these games because it's just so over the top. But it really makes you feel like you've conquered something or you've beat the bad guys, you know. Like I felt like at the end of Modern Warfare 2, I was like, hell yeah, I just did that, you know. And that's a good feeling. You don't always get that feeling with games, you know. That's one thing that they succeed with doing, and is you may not have the control that you do in a Skyrim or a Fallout New Vegas or you know something along those lines, but there's more of a like a you just feel better. It's a better taste left in your mouth at the end of those games, I think.
So what? Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
Well, I was gonna echo. Yeah, you know, I'm still in that same boat as you. I still enjoy the single player games of these shooters, and yeah, I play the multiplayer. But almost always before I dive too deep into the multiplayer, I finish the single player campaign because I want to know. I want to know what you know. They're kind of basing the multiplayer around at least the maps and in the areas you play in. And you're right. Call of Duty series is really good about when it's over, you feel like, hell yeah, I just did that. Like, I literally just had a submarine swim over my head. That's pretty damn cool. You know, it makes you feel that way. And so I agree with you.
I have two more questions as far as where do you think the Battlefield 3 single player in comparison kind of fell flat? Were they trying to be something different than Call of Duty, or they're trying to be Call of Duty and kind of fell on their face?
I think it's the latter. I think they really tried to be Call of Duty-esque and have those action sequences, but completely fell flat on their face.
Huh.
The pacing was just way off. Like 1 minute, it felt like I had to hurry and go and go and go. Next minute, it was kind of like I'm standing around making a sandwich, not really sure what the hell I'm doing next. And it really didn't feel like it had any continuity. Really, the most fun the campaign had was the vehicle sequences. Yeah. All the sequences when you were a foot soldier felt like a chore more than a game, more than an action sequence. And when they tried to throw in the action sequences, they more or less went to quick time events, and it was just like, really? If you're going to give me an action sequence, make me enjoy it. Make me get my popcorn ready. Make me have fun with it. Not, oh, I got to press B within 2 seconds or I'm going to get stabbed in the face or something.
And then finally, the consensus on multiplayer. Maybe Josh, if you have any sort of temperature gauge of your people at Netheads on this, just is it significantly better than Black Ops or is this... the Modern Warfare 2 fans have kind of rejoined the fray, or kind of what's the temperature here?
Well, I don't think – I think everybody that played Modern Warfare 2 also pretty much played Black Ops.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the sales, you know, it would kind of suggest that too. But everybody seems to be taking to this a little bit more than Black Ops, at least. I think there were guys that just wanted, like, more Modern Warfare 2. So, you know, people won't shut up about it, like, but there are people that I could have told you beforehand that they were going to love this no matter what it was, I guess. It's just like, it's more of the same. And, you know, it's like, if you're really into Madden, you're just going to buy next year's Madden and you're going to really enjoy it because that's your kind of game. But, so it's kind of predictable in that way.
Gotcha. And it sounds like, Brandon, your crew's enjoying it.
Yeah, for the most part, we are. I mean, you're right. It's got a lot of similarities to Modern Warfare 2, but they did do enough tweaking to it that makes it feel different enough. Like, I think, honestly, I would have been let down if I came in and it was exactly like Modern Warfare 2. Because I was wanting something different. But it does have enough differences in the gameplay, in the game modes that they introduced. Like, Kill Confirmed, where you have to collect dog tags to actually get the point, is actually a very strategic game when you put down the nuts and bolts of it, because it's just you can't just run and gun. You can't run and shoot everybody, rack up the kills, and win the match, because guess what? If you die, they're going to collect your tags if you're running out by yourself and don't have teammates to defend you. So there's a lot of group play that goes into those kinds of things, which I think Modern Warfare 2 did lack, that Black Ops did offer at times. Because I think when I played Black Ops multiplayer, all I played was essentially capture the flag, because it was a team-based game and it required strategy. And that's traditionally the gameplay I like.
So do you think in 3-4 months from now, which multiplayer game are you playing? Are you playing Modern Warfare? Are you playing Battlefield?
I think I'm going to be playing both still, but I think Modern Warfare will probably be the more time-consuming one than Battlefield. But I think I'll still play both because they do give two different experiences.
Sure. Good deal. I think it's going to wrap the Call of Duty discussion. Let's go to Ethan's game.
So this is quite opposite of I actually got into Bastion and this past week, and I was actually talking about this before the podcast, but I downloaded it during a Steam sale because it had come out on Steam recently. And, you know, getting into Skyrim, I've been playing a lot of Skyrim. I've got to have a lot of time to play that game, you know, just because you get lost and you don't really have a whole lot that you really want to do. And I thought Bastion would be a game that I could, you know, load up and play for a couple minutes or, you know, 45 minutes, something like that. And I ended up playing that game for 3.5 hours. I mean, it's a great game. It's enough RPG to, you know, quench me, if you will, but it's a lot, there's a lot more action to it. I love the weapons. I love the narrator. Holy cow. Like, I really wish the guy would just, you know, describe me taking a poop, because I think it'd be that much more pleasurable of an experience.
I've heard of a lot of compliments to that guy, but you took it home.
Logan Cunningham, holy cow, man. And you hear the voice, you see the guy, you think the guy is probably like 50 years old. He's like in his 20s. Like, it's amazing. Like, there's such a disparity between the way he speaks and the way he looks, but I'll digress on that. I just there's something about Bastion. There's just something about the weapons, I think, are what really do it for me, because, you know, in most conventional games, you have your fantasy type weapons, you know, your bows and your swords and axes, and then you have your, you know, and then there's the modern weapons, you know, the rifles and that kind of stuff. And this game has kind of a fun steampunky combination of both of them, you know. Yeah. And I love being able to choose between a mallet and a machete that I can toss, and, you know, a bow and arrow and a carbine. And I mean, I'm just, it's cool, and I like how the game, it takes itself seriously, but it doesn't try to fit into just any sort of genre mold, you know, or not genre as much as its location, you know. It's just, look, its location's so different, you know. And is it a fantasy game? Is it a steampunk game? Is it, you know, I don't know. There's just kind of that little there's just enough of each one of those that, that really make it interesting. And again, the narrator, that's just, it's amazing to do something and have somebody say in a really like kind of sensual voice, you know, hey, he really enjoys using that machete, you know, like that's just, oh, that just feels real good, you know?
It's the same feeling as the, hey, I just did that Call of Duty moment, but somebody's articulating it better.
Somebody, yeah, exactly. Someone's talking.
Then he pinched it. Off a sweet, nutty loaf. Jeez. And then he wiped.
There you go.
Merry Christmas.
I appreciate that, actually. I thought about...
I didn't know I was on the poop cast. I'm sorry.
You're always on the poop cast. It's a trick. It's all a big trick.
The poop cast is like a parasitic podcast. It finds its way on other podcasts as they're currently happening. But I think I'm going to finish this game. And I mean, that literally is like the best seal of a video game could possibly get.
You can give a game at the end of November. I'm going to finish this game.
Hey, what's your primary motivator for continuing? Is it just the solid gameplay, or is the story that good? So you want to see what's next?
You know, the story to me, I'm curious about what happened. I think they tell enough without giving it all away. You know, it's not a whole lot of description, you know. But the gameplay is just really satisfying. You know what I mean? Especially when you get the upgrades for the weapons. You know, when you go from one point where you're kind of struggling a little bit to, you know, for example, I've got the machete and I got an upgrade that actually, you know, causes damage to continue to affect the enemies. And just to rush in there, slice up like a bunch of guys, pop out, and just see them kind of, you know, fall to pieces eventually is cool. You know, I like that. And I'm curious to see what other upgrades I can get with the weapons. I think this is one of those games that's also going to kind of bring that completionist out of me, is that I want to do everything. You know, I want to finish all the little challenges they have throughout the levels. I want to find all the secrets, you know, all the items. I want to upgrade everything. I mean, I don't know. It's just because every weapon feels different once you add an upgrade to it. And these are weapons that feel completely different when you play with them anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, the mallet and the machete, just two examples, are two, you know, CQC weapons, or, you know, close combat weapons, but they both feel completely different. You know, same thing with the bow and arrow versus the little spine gun, if you will. That's the best way I can describe it. And I love the little, you know, the special moves you've got. You know, you've got landmines, you've got hand grenades, you've got all this kind of stuff. I think right now my favorite weapon that I got once I closed or stopped playing was the dual wielding pistols, you know, because I mean, again, it's just something completely new with every weapon that you pick up. But I am curious to see what happens. I want to know what happened to Bastion. I want to know why everything went to hell. And, you know, I've just, you know, a traitor in my midst, and I won't go into any detail, has been revealed, and I'm curious to see how that develops as well.
I'm taking note here. After it's been about 4 months since Cole gave it a 5-star review, and I kind of approved that 5-star review after I finished it, and I subsequently went back to get every, like, to 100% the game, which I never do anymore. It's taken 4 months to convince Ethan to play this game, so it's just kind of my measurement going forward of how long it takes to convince this man to play a game.
Oh, God.
I bought it during that sale too, and
you haven't played it.
I really wish you hadn't talked about it tonight.
Adding to the problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's the perfect distraction, I think, for a game like Skyrim, because I mean, again, you should be able to play it in small doses, but it doesn't work out like that at all. I mean, I think that time went quicker playing that game than playing Skyrim, just because of how the action plays out. You know, there's a lot more of it, and you're not wandering around quite as much. You know, it's a little bit more direct. You know, you jump in there, there's enemies all around you, and you just fight. And I love that. I think that's cool. And I think it's a good way to keep yourself from getting too lost in a game like Skyrim, because again, you can bounce out and you can really just mess some fools up. And that's what I've been doing, messing some gassy fools up.
Nice. Moving on to my kind of surprise of the season. Right now I'm actually playing three games at once. I recently, we just got our new TV last week, the big screen for the living room. So I've kind of, moved out of my office gaming and been playing on the big screen. But, I've also discovered, you know, I can't really play, my other game besides Skyrim, on the big screen with little kids running around, because Saints Row just isn't really appropriate for that. So, so I started exploring just like what games I'm comfortable playing in that environment, that when I'm not in the mood for Skyrim. And I talked a little bit last week about, the Rayman Origins demo and how it kind of blew me away. So, I was playing that demo, in front of, my girlfriend's 3-year-old and her 2 older cousins. They're 5 and 8, and I'm actually working on an article about this story, but they flocked to the demo and kind of pushed me in the, to go ahead and go buy that game, just because I don't think anybody's going to buy this game right now. Just selling a 2D platform at this time of the year is a hard sell, and I don't know why Ubisoft did that. It's kind of frustrating. But
what systems is this on?
It's on the 3 major consoles.
Holy shit, a boxed? Like 360,
a boxed side scroller, $60 side scroller.
Holy shit!
Yeah, like I almost got the Wii version just because it was $10 cheaper because it's a Wii game. But but I really wanted the HD experience, and because it is gorgeous. And so I've played through the first world. It kind of boasts that there's 60 levels in the game, and you know, it's probably the happiest game I've ever played in my life. It's up there with some of Nintendo's Fever Dreams, but I have no idea what's going on in the Rayman universe. I've never played another Rayman game in my life, and so I don't know what's going on with the characters, but the platforming in the game is deceptively hard, and there's a lot of collections going on, but the true, you know, the true draw is in the animation itself and just kind of the weird characters, the weird setting. But the gameplay is really addictive, as far as there's a lot of the enemies will, when you hit them, will kind of fill up with air and you can bounce off of them to get to higher platforms. And I've been playing this game solo, but I think it was built more as a 4-player co-op experience, kind of a la New Super Mario Brothers.
4 players?
Yeah, you can get 4 players at once.
Oh, man.
So, I really can't recommend it. It also, it tends to mix up the game and play. The demo had an underwater level with some swimming elements. It was actually kind of fun and thrilling, I guess. And then it also turns into a shmup at times. And
Oh god!
Yeah, it's really cool.
God damn it! Why are you doing this?
And then it also. It's really hard to 100% the levels. Like, I'm not doing them. I'm not 100%ing the levels unless I'm really focused on trying to do so. And I'm missing. I tend to miss, like, you know, a handful, like 5 or 6 of the items you have to collect to get 100% of the items. Like, basically, you're collecting. I have no idea what these little golden creatures are, but you're collecting them like constantly throughout the world. And at the end, it'll add up how many you got. And if you get like all 300 of them that are in the level, you'll get, you know, you'll 100% the level. And I'm always like 5 or 6 off, so you have to go back and figure out where those things ran away from me or when I couldn't grab them. So there's a lot of replay value for the completionist in that. And it's not. The thing is, like I said, the kids were really drawn to the game just because bright colors, loud noises, hilarious situations, goofy stuff going on. But
sounds good to me.
But it's hard. It's got some mature platforming gameplay to it. So I'm having a lot of fun with it, and you know, I'm just gonna be touting this game for a while just because I know it's gonna fall off of people's radars.
You just described like the next like Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
You know, side scroller game, like it's the, like both of those games, we played the crap out of here, me and my girlfriend. So,
yep,
I've got to get this because we'll play it together.
Yeah, try the demo, man. It's.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll
scroll. It's an easy sell from that. So
yeah.
Here's kind of a devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying. question is, do you think it's kind of a gamble to because obviously, okay, so you know the kids like it, but I mean this is not a game that. Do you think this is a game that kids are going to be able to pick up and easily play? I mean, do you think they're going to be attracted to the graphics and then find a game that's actually relatively complicated? And I mean, if
no, you know, I mean,
what's the demographic? I guess maybe.
I mean, the difficulty is just the timing and jumping elements of platform stuff. But the okay. like, there's only 2 buttons. There's jump and attack. So, and then you've got your different little moves that you know, but it tutorializes that stuff well, and I don't think it's any more difficult than Mario on his best and hardest day.
Okay, so it's not
it's kind of got that, like, you could just blow through the game and not collect the stuff, but if you really want to try to collect the stuff, that's where the challenge comes in.
I gotcha.
I think kids are going to have fun running around with two or three friends and just slapping the hell out of each other in the game as they're jumping around the environment. Like, that was half the draw, was I let Lily play the game for a little while with the controller, and the controller's way too big for her right now, but she was just getting a kick out of jumping and run and moving the character, and like there's like other characters in the game that instead of like a rope swing, it'll be like a stretchy, gooey character will reach out with his hand, and it'll have like the goofy looking eyes that she just was eating up, and she just thought it would be funny every time she'd jump up and he would grab Rayman to help him swing, and you know, it was really fun to watch a kid kind of get into that. And I was like, this, you know, I think I said it last week, but I keep thinking, I was like, I wish Nintendo could go back here sometimes. And like the Kirby games have tried to do it, but this was a very Nintendo-esque moment for me.
The kids play games for completely different reasons than adults do. So it can be hard and complicated and have all the collectible aspects, and that doesn't matter to kids. Yeah. I mean, kids suck at Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I sucked at Ninja Gaiden and Contra for the longest time.
Yeah, and that was okay.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the games that are kind of up next in your queue. So stuff you haven't really gotten to, and then if anybody has any feedback on these, we'll talk through it and figure out if we're going to get to it this year. We'll start with Brandon.
Assassin's Creed Revelations is what I'm planning on attacking next. I'm hoping to actually attack it this weekend and make something happen, but we'll see how successful I'll be, because who knows, the bloody sirens of Skyrim may call and I'll totally forget that game even exists.
I've been really put off by the reviews of this game, unfortunately, and I thought I was going to try to get Brotherhood done to be able to catch up and play this game, but that's definitely bumped into the 2012 realm for me. But I'm hoping you dive into it this weekend and tell me that
everything's going to be okay.
Yes. So if you could let me know as soon as you know if it's going to be okay.
I've only played the first two DNA sequences of it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the Ezio portion of the story so far makes sense to me, because he's old, but the part with Desmond just it seems ad hoc so far. I'm just hoping that they clear it up, you know, as I get further into the storyline. I'll definitely let you know, but that's just kind of my first gut reaction at it so far.
Cool. Josh, have you been in the Assassin's Creed series at all?
I played 1 and 2 and didn't finish either one of them.
Fair.
I mean, I thought the first one had some like terrible problem. I mean, everybody thought the first one had problems, but 2 seemed really cool, but it was just bad timing for me, and I think I was trying to play it at the same time I had just got Mass Effect 2. I was obviously late to the game, and I have an unopened copy of Aspro.
Yeah.
So I'm like woefully behind on Assassin's Creed stuff, but the thing that interests me the most is the Desmond stuff.
Sure.
And as soon as they make a game where Desmond is the main character, I'm on board. I'll just like wiki, like
Assassin's Creed 5.
Read the story all the way up to that point, and then I'll just play. Yeah, AC5.
What's your outside stance, Ethan?
First one sucked. I hated it. It was so bad. I don't like to sneak. I don't know. You know, I don't want to be too sneaky. I want to get in there and play the game. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think you can really do that, can you? I don't know. I didn't get to that point because I was so freaking bored with that game in the beginning. I felt like the first 45 minutes of it were just someone telling me to go. Like, I went, but my first real action was sitting down and watching somebody. So, yeah, that game's not good for a man like me.
You when need Barbarian's man. Creed.
When did you?
Yeah, play? I know, exactly.
When did you play Assassin's Creed 1? Like, is that recent?
That was probably, I got it with a deal back in, I want to say, April?
A bundle.
Yeah, it just, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't,
I
One not just not just does not hold up.
Not a
up.
Bundle, Brandon. It's a deal. A group of items that I got at the same time, but not a bundle.
Get the new Assassin's Creed item group. Doesn't have the same ring.
The real question worth asking about this is just how do you guys feel about the yearly franchising of this game?
Bad idea. I don't even play the
game. I think it's a bad idea.
I think people are going to get sick of it.
I think so too. What made Assassin's Creed what it is the single player, unlike the Call of Duty series. That was the multiplayer. That's what made it what it was. And the single player, I mean, while good in some installations of it, the multiplayer is really what the selling factor of it was. Assassin's Creed, to me, until Brotherhood came out, it was a single player that made that game, and the annual release is only going to take away from that, and I think it's a bad idea.
I think I was just so thrown off that I think we were all thrown off that Brotherhood was so well received, it's still just incrementally better than two, but it was more of an advance than you'd expect for 1 year, and I think the problem was that it kind of set up Revelations to have to do that again, and it just feels like Revelations from, and I just do this completely based on reviews of the people I follow, but it seems like Revelations is what they expected Brotherhood to be as far as just a mediocre advancement and kind of unnecessary. But I'm hoping, I really love this series, and regardless of the fact that I'm always a year behind, and I hope that I get some value out of Revelations once I play it. So, Brandon, let me know that it's okay.
Okay.
Let's go to Ethan.
Curious enough, I actually really want to get back into Rage. It didn't
Rage.
Sit really well with me in the beginning. But I think that I've just seen enough of the later levels in the game and some of the weapons and just some of that kind of stuff that I just really want to finish it. I think it's going to be a relatively easy finish, again, in comparison to a game like Skyrim. And I think that in playing Skyrim, I'm gonna just compare everything to that. I would like a little bit smoother of a combat mechanic, and I think that Rage really did have that. And I kind of got into the racing aspect of it too, for some reason, even though I thought that was pretty weak. I just suddenly started thinking it was fun. It was kind of weird, kind of like the day that I really started liking mint juleps, and quickly that ended.
Those are delicious.
Yeah, no, I don't usually like them, but one single day I really love them. So, but again, I want to complete that game because it was one of the games that when I buy a game new, I feel like I have more of an inclination to beat it. As opposed to the games I get for 50 cents, on Steam.
50 Cent was a good game.
Oh, I'll never play that game. I will not support Mr. Curtis. But Rage to me, I think that there's going to be some cool scenes coming up soon. I think I just have to get past the initial beginning, and then I want to be able to give that game. I like the game, but I want to be able to give it, the benefit of the doubt up until the point that it completely disappoints me. And then I'll talk trash about it or compliment it. Just depends.
I'm with you on this one. I don't think I'm going to get back to Rage this year. I think I know enough about it to kind of rate it in my memorable games of the year. But man, do I love the guns in that game.
And oh, yeah.
I think there's something that puts me off about the hub world in that game, in that I think that's my biggest problem with it. Like it's good enough, and I like it kind of stretching out, but it doesn't do much at all. And I think I could do without the hub world. I think I would rather it just take me from mission to mission. Like I don't really need. If you're gonna kind of try to build a hub world with other characters, don't half-ass it. Which is so weird to say. They half-assed it when you look at just how impressive the game looks, and obviously it's they're pushing the tech more than anything, but and it doesn't come across as not polished, but it all comes across as unnecessary. And
yeah,
I think it just could, if it just recognizes that it's an id shooter and just gives me those missions and maybe gives me more of them or more scenarios, I think the game could have done better. It just, there's no real big faults in the game, but it didn't do anything great other than the shooting, so it just seems like they should have made a game that only did that. And, you know, how awesome... We might be talking more if Rage was almost more like a Serious Sam. It's kind of where I'm getting...
Well, and I think that and the issue that I had with how people kind of consider the game, but also an issue I have with the game, it's a little bit hypocritical of me, but it is deceptive because, again, people did think that the game was going to be Fallout or, you know, another one of those more RPG type games. And I knew it wasn't. I knew it wasn't because, you know, in previews, they never said that. They said there's similarities, but it's not going to be the same type of game. But you get into this mode where you want to play it like a Fallout, you know, even though you know very well that it's a shooting game. You know, it's a just a pure first person shooter at its core, you know, with, you know, the little driving thrown in there. And I think it's so deceptive because you don't know what kind of like game you want to get into. You know, am I going to be looking, because I find myself wandering around the landscape looking for stuff and I'm not finding a whole lot. You know what I mean? Like I find a few little things, but, you know, unlike again with the Fallout. Don't, you know, the shooting sucks. I mean, the shooting's horrible in that game, but you can find stuff. And I almost feel like I just need to maybe get the adventure seeking man out of me when I play this game and just go into the action.
But they've made the game world so beautiful. You want to explore it. It's just not there. Like, and don't give me a game where I have to buy ammunition individually or buy weapon grade upgrades individually when that's not really the point. It's not about like, I have a feeling like, I feel like if you have to buy ammunition or you have to like pay attention to ammo in that regard, it almost needs to be more survival-esque and open world or survival horror style where there's some tension around what ammo you have, not just it's just you're kind of filling up your gauges in between missions, and it's just that's just the criticism I'm getting to with the game. But when it comes down to it, I still love that. Still love that gunplay. So,
Everyone said I was crazy because I didn't want that game, and I to this day I still haven't heard a reason for me to want it. I mean, it's when it was in the magazines and online, and everybody was previewing and all that. I didn't see anything special about it, other than it was graphically excellent looking. Otherwise, it didn't have anything to me that actually set itself apart from anything else that we've already seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that an accurate perception?
Yeah. I think that, you know, it does. It blows you away with its visuals, but you begin to notice, you know, some of those distractionary elements that Justin pointed out, and that takes away from it. And then, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not doing anything new. It's not necessarily the best first-person shooter out there. You know, I think that and it's not the best kind of post-apocalyptic exploration game. You know, it's
really the best at anything.
No. And it's mediocre at everything. But maybe the way it looks, you know, there's not a shit ton of creativity to it, which is kind of what was boasted in the beginning. I mean, I'll be honest with it. This is a game that we've seen before, but it's just got that nice coating of icing on it. And so I think that I really wanted the game because I haven't played an id shooter for a long time. I really like Doom 3. I really liked all the Dooms, and I was hoping to have that same kind of feeling. And I'd be lying if I say that I had that same feeling. I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't disappointed. But I'm not as disappointed as a lot of people happen to be, because I actually can read. And I actually, you know, understood what they were trying to get across. I just think that they should have ditched it. You know, get that RPG crap out. If you're not going to do it, don't do it at all. You know?
I have one last quick question about Rage. And that is, if the game took place on Mars and you were shooting demons... Pinkies and Keko demons and stuff, would it be good?
Yeah, I think it would be better.
I think both Ethan and I want a Doom game with the Rage engine.
Okay, Doom 4 is on the way, so this is good. This is a good thing.
Oh yeah.
Minus the RP half-ass elements to it.
Yeah. RPAG.
Yeah.
If they put role-playing elements into a Doom game, then it should close. John Carmack should shoot himself into space in one of his rockets.
I don't understand it game designers at this point. But anyway, that's another podcast for another day. Josh, let's go to your game.
Man, the soundtrack in Skyrim is really good. I'm just like roaming the countryside. And wait, let's just talk about something different.
Something, your next game and your queue.
This is a game I know I'm going to play because we're going to play it. And that's
I'm gonna be done with it by the time you get to it. Sounds like
Well, you wouldn't play multiplayer, even if you did the story shit.
I might be moving on to my other games.
Oh, this is... yeah, I'm dying. I haven't even... I've got it downloaded, preloaded, not installed. Oh, I want to play it. Love 2 so much. I just... Dicking off. I mean, I never even finished the story, but I probably played...
See how far
more
we can
than
go
the,
without saying
whatever
anything.
The back of the box
I was gonna say,
said.
When are you
going to
tell everybody what the hell you're talking about?
I said Saints Row 3, didn't I?
No.
Saints Row 3. Saints Row 3.
The third. Three the third.
Yeah.
Three the
Saints
third.
Saints Row third.
Three. 33 and a third.
No Nicky Gun references.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So why is it the must play for you?
Man, 2 was some of the most fun I've ever had in an asshole simulator. And, you know, that includes, like, all the GTA games, Just Cause, you know, games of that ilk. So, and it was purely for the co-op. I have no desire whatsoever to play this game by myself. If someone else can't see me, my man thong, driving pickup trucks, I mean, then there's no point.
Also applies in real life.
Yeah. Oh, just there's no series, and 1 was okay. 2 then that's where
is that
they
where,
got it right.
Did 1 have a sense of humor? Like,
yeah, but it was not the same. They didn't take it to the level
of absurdity
2 or what 3 appears to do, which is a completely
3 definitely
different.
Fulfills on that. Yeah. I've put about a dozen hours into it now, and yeah, it's everything I wanted it to be, except I think I have more fun in Just Cause 2 for one distinct difference in these games is the destructibility factor. Like, Just Cause 2 was really big on explosions and buildings and things blowing up, but there's not very much of that in Saints Row, but it makes up for it in having a much more interesting setting and full of people that are fun to mess with, basically. Like,
have you played any co-op?
No, I haven't played any co-op.
What the? You're doing it wrong. What are you even playing?
I'm playing... I think the third vehicle I got was a jet. And I tried to... Let's see, you start off, like... Your crib is some apartment, and I tried to land the plane on the apartment, and it just exploded. And I didn't play Grand Theft Auto as an asshole simulator. I haven't really, aside from Just Cause 2, haven't just gone sandbox with these games since probably Grand Theft Auto 3. So I've been catching up on a lot of lost time of just, you know. I upgraded. Well, first thing that I did was I upgraded my car to have the spikes jet out of the wheels, and I just drive up and down the highway, popping the tires on other vehicles and watching them careen out of control because that's hilarious to me. So, you know, I can get enough of a kick out of that by myself because that's what I know with those games. Even Just Cause 2, I only played it by myself. So I'm sure once I have the comparison to co-op, once you finally sign on and we live stream that shit to our dozens and dozens of fans, it'll change the game for me entirely. But it, as far as just what I was seeking, I mean, I love, honestly, this trio of games I'm playing right now is probably one of my favorite trios of all time. Just Skyrim to Saints Row to Rayman just sums up a lot of my gaming personality. So I'm loving it. It's everything I wanted it to be. It definitely still has some of the kind of GTA clone flaws that are just inherent in that type of game. But I really like how they do the mission structure and the fact that they'll just put you in ridiculous scenarios and they don't have to explain it. It all works. So that game is everything I wanted it to be. And I can't wait to play some co-op.
Let's do it.
Cool. Are you, either of you guys interested in this game at all?
You know, yeah. I mean, I think it looks pretty cool. I think there's just too many games. It came at a bad time. It probably didn't come at a bad time, but it came at a bad time for me. And if it comes at a bad time for me, then it's a bad time in general. I feel like this is like the, I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys would disagree. Is this like the Ethan Moses game that I should be playing that I'm not? And I kind of get that impression. Dildo baseball bats and explosions and maybe dildo baseball. Wait, I got too excited about that. No, wait a minute. Let me correct that. Just the explosions and the, it looks fun. Octopus gun. Is there an octopus gun? Is that, am yeah. I correct on that?
An octopus mind controlling gun.
Oh yeah. I should be playing this game.
Yeah. How many people could we get in a game, Josh? Is it just two or is it?
Yeah, it is just two. And one thing that's kind of weird is they dumped the, like, any of the competitive multiplayer stuff.
Although, actually, if Ethan, if you got this game to play with Josh, I would come color commentate, or vice versa. You could color commentate on us on a live stream. I think that'd be pretty entertaining.
We should do that setup that Josh was talking about on Skyrim, but for this game, it seems like that'd be even more fun.
We can do that.
Couch night. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of ridiculous games, I really want to play the new Legend of Zelda game. And actually, it doesn't look ridiculous at all. This is the game I'm borderline. I feel like I kind of have to play it to see how it compares, and I need to play it soon because if I get sucked in, I know it's at least 30 hours long, and I've been torn on my Zeldas lately. I did not like Twilight Princess. I played the hell out of Wind Waker. I loved Wind Waker, and but I, like I said, I've played Ocarina of Time enough times that I'm tired of the 3D Zelda formula, and I just don't know if the Zelda fan in me will awaken enough to really enjoy the game. From what it looks like, if you can let go and give in, it's supposed to be a fantastic game. So that's the reason I need it for a realm of comparison, but I might get the game and only play it for 2 hours and move on, or I'll be completely sucked into it. So, but I need to finish one of Saints Row or Skyrim before that happens. So,
you know, they have a action package of the game and a gold Wiimote.
Action package. I don't need a gold Wiimote.
Oh, you can put it on your shelf next to your gold Legend of Zelda and Link's Adventure.
Man, that was one of my proudest gold moment was the N64 gold one. I was pretty proud.
They did that? They did? Was it shiny gold?
Not really shiny. No.
Well, I don't think this Wiimote's shiny either.
It's probably the same color as my GoldenEye controller, whatever the classic controller. So let me
ask about the Zelda games. I mean, from someone who doesn't play Nintendo Wii at all or has been out of that game for a while, I mean, from game to game, is it that majorly different, or is it really just kind of rehashing the same old concepts in maybe different ways? And I guess, is there a lot of innovation in the Zelda games anymore?
Not really since... not since Ocarina. I mean, Ocarina was enough of a game changer that, you know, Wind Waker should exist. It got by on its style, but really, the gameplay was pretty much the same. But it wasn't tired at that point. I got tired of it in the middle of Twilight Princess. It's kind of, and also they've since had GBA and DS Zeldas that I played in the meantime, and just that whole dungeon used the latest. Gadget that you discover type of puzzle gameplay. I had done it in my sleep, and I knew kind of what the story beats were going to be. And I literally got to the end of Twilight Princess where you're about done with it, but they make you go collect something in all eight corners of the game world before you have to fight the final boss. And I was like, I don't want to do this final fetch quest that I knew was coming. And, but there seems to be just a consensus that this is the best use of the Wii motion controls since basically Wii Sports, and that it is the reason to play and own a Wii at this point, and that it seems to be advanced and much more impactful than Twilight Princess was, so it may be worth experiencing.
Kind of sad though? Wii Sports has been around.
Yeah, I mean,
for a long time.
I won't defend any of the Wii library at this point, but they're putting it up on. Some people are putting it on that pedestal of if they had made more games like this with motion controls, that we would have had a lot better games. But maybe it was only possible at the end of the life cycle too. So
yeah, that's what it looked like. Well, I think the most innovative, just kind of answer Brandon's question, the most innovative Zelda game was actually Darksiders. So
actually, I've been worried about that. That's the other side of this. Is like, maybe I don't want to play Zelda because I don't want to be tired for Darksiders too.
Oh, I don't think you can be. I just think Zelda's just. I mean, I don't know. After playing Darksiders, I'll probably never play another.
Do I
want to
play
again.
As Link or do I want to play as Death?
I was going to say, I'm going to go with Death. I'm going to go with the decapitation and the pulling people to pieces. Making someone, you know, blink red and then disappear in a puff of smoke, not as satisfying.
But again,
so.
if you listen to my kind of theme going on here for the rest of the night, like from my 3DS to my Rayman Origins talk, there's a part of me that likes to give in to Nintendo and likes to still have those experiences. And this might be the last chance for a while. But again, I got to really weigh it versus a lot of the other games I want to play. Is it going to be a contender, and is it worth the time? And right now I'm on the fence, and Aaron is actually going to review that for us. So I'm kind of waiting for his feedback to see, once I'm done with Saints Row 3, which game I pick up next. So,
if I want to play a Zelda game, I'm just going to either play Link to the Past again, or yeah, I'll buy Ocarina of Time for my Impulse Buy 3DS.
I mean,
that will surely happen at some point.
I mean, it just seems like Skyward Sword is either the third game in that mix, or it's not. And if it is, I kind of want to play it. But so far the consensus has been some people are putting on that echelon and others are saying, oh, it's, you know, it's just another good Zelda game, but nothing game changing. So I want it to be game changing, but we'll see. All right, we're running kind of long here. So to wrap this up, let's just start going through the upcoming games on your list that you hope you have time for, and kind of maybe give a quick sentence or two about, you know, why it's kind of been pushed down your list, but why you still want to play it, if that makes sense. Because again, just trying to tie this back into, we're trying to wrap up as many games as we can to make some informed game of the year decisions next month. So Brandon, why don't you run through one? We'll just kind of loop through each other. And if you have additional games you want to throw out there, let's see what we can do in the next 10 minutes. So
Arkham City, that one's the one that I was really excited about trying, and it's kind of like Skyrim. I want to be able to give it a fair shake just because I'm such a big fan of the Batman story, and just Batman Arkham Asylum was so good. I feel like I wouldn't do it justice if I just blow through it. So I'm hoping to free up time somewhere, some way, probably slip time and space just so I can get it in there.
I'm kind of curious why you rate Assassin's Creed above this.
I think solely because I think I can probably complete that faster.
Okay, fair enough.
because I really think that the Batman it'll be kind of like Skyrim. I will get distracted by the side missions and seeing all the characters that they put in and how they did it and everything like that. Where Assassin's Creed, I'm more or less just interested in what the hell is going on with the story. So I just think that knocking that out, then it'll be off my conscience and I can move on.
Cool. Josh?
Yeah, actually, real quick, Batman Arkham City is on my list too. And I loved Arkham Asylum. I finished it, and I don't finish a lot of games. And it's kind of – I can't believe that I haven't – it's sitting on my shelf, and I really haven't had desire to crack it open, which is – really extra weird, but I'll one day read a Batman comic or something and I'll get in the mood and I'll play that one. But Dark Souls is my other game that and I played a lot of Demon Souls. That was a huge sleeper hit for me. And then this one being, you know, kind of more of the same, but kind of fixing a few of the problems from what I've seen. I'm looking forward to getting into it, but just like Batman, I just haven't had the itch.
Sure.
But I always have these mood swings one day to the next. I can have the, you know, I'll have Skyrim waiting for me, and I'll pick up, you know, something from, you know, Star Trek Online or something like really random and stupid. I have those impulses.
But. My ridiculous argument for Dark Souls, and I actively purchased that game the week it came out to participate in trying to boost its sales, just like being a part of that, with the full knowledge that I didn't want to play the game until months later when all of the Bloodstains had kind of been populated. So, like, I really want to get the full the full realm of the multiplayer experience on that side. So, anyway. Ethan?
I'm definitely going to have to go with Red Faction Armageddon, another one of those you know, big-time games that kind of maybe just missed its mark a little bit. I've actually really liked it. It is a bit more linear than Guerrilla was, but I actually kind of like that. A lot of cool destruction. I just kind of want to see where the story goes. I don't think it's going to go anywhere great, but I'm curious to see what other kind of weapons I can get. I've had a lot of fun sending creatures through the ceiling with a magnet gun, and it can only get better from there, I have a feeling. So I really want to finish that game up. I'm sure it's not going to take me too long. So
I'm glad you're liking that game. That game got a, I think, a little bit of a bad rep when it came out. So next game on my list that I don't know how I have time for this, especially if I do get into Zelda, but Deus Ex Human Revolution. It was one of my – I actually wrote the You're Gonna Get It Anyway article on that, and I bought the game soon after but left it wrapped because I was moving on to Batman or something else. No, I think I was playing Rage at the same time. I was like, I'll come back to Deus Ex, but I'm running out of time, and that game had a pretty big impact when it came out, so I need to wrap my head around it. Brandon, did you have anything else?
No, not really. I mean, okay. I think we've hit on all the main ones that are out there.
Josh?
Yeah, there's actually one other game, which I haven't heard anybody talk about it basically all fall, but F1 2011 came out this year, which I know no one cares about, but I have this secret love for racing games.
Aww.
And F1 2010 was my favorite racing game of all time. And, I play with the steering wheel, and that's one of those games that really gets you into it.
I'm going to change your description on the site now. Josh to Josh Lee owns a steering wheel.
I own a steering wheel. I own a.
I'm just going to say I
gigantic hope, joystick. I have all these PC peripherals.
Power.
I almost bought a Track IR recently.
I hope that you play this game, and I look forward to you trying to sell all of us on it for Game of the Year contention.
It's the best racing game ever.
Ethan, did you have anything else you wanted to throw out?
Yeah, I'm still thinking about finishing Castlevania.
last year.
Jesus.
2010
yeah,
game.
I've got a lot more 2010 games sitting there. But yeah, I kind of like to. I've enjoyed it up to a certain point. So.
Don't get me started on my 2010 backlog.
I think that might be the live show in December, honestly. It's the 2010 black backlog.
I still have an unopened copy of Darksiders.
And then finally, the bullet I might have to take for this website, just because it's such a, regardless of the quality of the game, it's a major milestone release, because it's a very interesting story surrounding the existence of this game, but when Star Wars The Old Republic actually comes out in December, I think I'm going to have to put some time into it. Just again, like I said, for the realm of comparison to, especially because I started the year out back in World of Warcraft, I'm just curious from more of a journalistic perspective than a player perspective. So maybe I'll trick somebody from the site to, like we said, create some Star Trek characters in the Star Wars universe and piss some people off, but I will put a little bit of time into that game, and hopefully I don't have to pay for that time, but we'll see.
God, yeah. Dude, I'm right with you there. Like, half of me says,
it's like,
oh my God, Star Wars, and I love Knights of the Old Republic, both those games, but then the other half of me says, like, EA can eat a Wampa dick.
No, I was gonna say, I just had the epiphany, like, it's moved in the realm of Duke Nukem Forever territory for me, that I just want to see the story through. Like, I just want to, you know what I mean?
That's a really scary comparison. And I know one Moses boy that's out there right now just shaking his fist at you.
Is he crying also?
Well, I don't know if he is, but he's pretty pumped up for this game. And I hope for his, I really do.
Me too.
I hope this game is good. Because if it's not, he's going to be devastated. I do not want that to happen.
I hope for BioWare's sake. I don't give a shit about EA, but I hope for BioWare's sake that it blows some people away. And, you know, I know it won't, but it, and again, I, it, it for Blizzard to have some real competition in this realm would be fantastic. I think it'd be great for the industry. But
I think if you're hoping for anything but World of Warcraft with a lightsaber stuck up its ass, then you're going to be sorely disappointed.
And
that's on the box, isn't it?
Actually, no, that wasn't melancholy. Melancholy Josh Lee. Oh, yeah, they should put that on the box.
Yeah.
It comes with a lightsaber up the ass. All right, wrap the show up here. HorribleNight.com updates real quick. We did formally announce, actually on the show last week, our Horrible Night out on December 9th. It's a Friday at 8 p.m. at Netheads. We will be featuring the co-op clash, and over the course of the next couple weeks, we will be announcing the games that are a part of the co-op clash tournament. The tournament is volunteer-based, kind of first come, first serve, but there'll be plenty of other games to be playing at Netheads, and we're still trying to figure out what we're going to be live streaming from the event, but I'm sure there will be some gaming action there, as well as information of how you can play alongside of us online. So looking forward to that in December. That's going to do it for the main portion of the show this evening. For those of you who like to stick around to figure out what else we've been up to, we'll take a quick break and come back for our Three Sims of the Week. Everyone else have a great holiday weekend in America. Everybody outside of America, make fun of us for this silly holiday, and we will see you next time. Three subs of the week time. Let's go a little bit off topic. And because this was a what we were playing episode, your game should represent a classic Xbox title. Well, not necessarily, just an Xbox game, original Xbox game that you'd like to give a shout out to. Because I think last week was the 10-year anniversary of the launch of the Xbox. So,
oh God,
that's why it was a little bit topical. Sometimes there's a method to my madness. So
I'm old.
Brandon, let's go with your threesomes.
Threesomes started off, I was sick last week, so I was kind of ridden on the couch, and I decided to pop in Netflix and watch some movies I have been sitting in my queue, and I came across Insidious, and I watched it, and to this day I still don't know if I like it or not. I just can't make a decision on it. It was kind of campy to me. And I guess I had different expectations going in, what it was actually going to be like. And so I don't know if you guys have seen it, but
I watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you like it? I need to know. Can someone make a definitive decision if they
got confused? It got confused halfway through. It like began so well, and then it just went to hell in a handbasket pretty quickly. It was just so goofy. I mean, it got really goofy towards the end, I think.
Yeah, but like every horror movie has this problem, though, of like, you know, that if it starts out strong, it has a shit ending, you know. If it's like you can't get into it at all, you know, somewhere in the middle of it you get like the greatest jump scares of all time, or some, you know, creepy crab walking down the stairs shit or something, you know. Like there's always, every horror movie is flawed in some really major way, it seems like, besides The Exorcist.
I don't know, it really drugged me in right in the beginning, and that could have been the drugs that I was taking because I was sick, but I was really into it in the beginning, and then I don't know, like near the end, probably about 2/3 of the way through, it just got screwy. It was like, what are you trying to do with this movie? And then the ending with the classical Hollywood ending that just disappointed me in so many ways.
It definitely jumped the shark big time once that final act began. And yeah, there was like a shit ton of like super cheesy moments, but it did so many other things really well. It had like super good, you know, kind of creepy visual. Some of them were jump scares, but it had one of the best uses early on in the film of something appearing in the background that you, if you didn't see it, like if you weren't just kind of looking at that part of the screen for a split second, you would have totally missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I started losing faith in it right when they started like making those background things be right in your face things. And it was just kind of like, oh really? Well, now it's not scary. You're starting to be cheesy, you know.
The demon, seeing that demon up close, I was like, really?
that's what we're scared of right now. Like, it was really bad at that point. I understand that, you know, the issue with, you know, scary movies of this vein, but this one really, really lost it. It was almost like they pulled down the curtains at like a haunted house, and then you saw like the people changing in the background, and then you were like, ah, oh, it's not that scary anymore. That's how I felt halfway through this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The best part about the beginning was they played with the sounds. It was background stuff going on, and you really didn't see in the beginning what was causing the issue. You just saw shadows and you just saw silhouettes of things, and it was leaving it up to your imagination. But I agree, once
Darth Maul came out
into that dream world, yeah, Darth Maul. First time I saw him, this is the first thought I had. I was like, what's Darth Maul doing in this movie? I mean, where's Jar Jar? Is he coming out next? I mean, I was looking for just about anything else at that point. And I think at the end, you're right, they just jumped the shark. They were just all over the place, messed up, and none of it just jived well. So I just...
Your expectations sound like they were too high, though, too, maybe. Yeah.
Well, they really hyped this movie up, like... Paranormal Activity. I liked the movie right up until the last 2 minutes.
The redone ending?
Yeah.
Yeah, the original ending was pretty solid.
Yeah. Like, what is... Okay, here's my problem with horror movies lately. Like, even the ones, especially like Paranormal Activity, which I'm a fan of those types of movies. But the fact that they've gone into the third movie for that series, they've... You know, they've had all the Saw movies, and it sounds like Insidious did this within one movie, where we want to be scared by the unknown. We don't need to know every little detail or see every little thing about what's scaring us. When you remove the mystery, it's not as scary. And I'm kind of experiencing that with American Horror Story, which I continue to watch, where I don't know how long a show about like a horror show can go on if they keep revealing more and more about what's going on behind the scenes. I was like, the first two episodes are scary as hell, but now you know where the scares came from, and they're missing the entire point of horror movies. And it just seems to be happening more and more often, and it's unfortunate.
That's why H.P. Lovecraft was the best.
He never really revealed what was
going on.
You know, when I was a little kid, there was a movie that sticks out in my mind that my mom watched. It was an old black and white movie, The Haunting. And you never once see a ghost that entire movie. And the closest you come to it is, I think, like old oak wooden doors bend and bow out of force pressing on it. But you never once see something. And when I was little, that was scary to me because I was using the imagination of what's behind that door. Is it a big monster? What is it? And now, I mean, with Insidious, it just kind of felt like they took all that mystery out halfway through the movie and just said, this is what's doing this. And you're like, well, great. Why am I sitting here for another 45 minutes? And I guess why I can't decide if I like the movie or not is I love the beginning and I just am not satisfied with the end.
It's bad.
So moving on, Assassin's Creed Revelations is something else that I got into. I just started it and completed two DNA sequences, and I have, you know, fainted hope that it's not going to diminish, but at the same time, I can already see some of that just because it feels disjointed so far, and I just really hope that later on they kind of wrap it up so I can understand what the hell's going on in the game.
Me too.
But my shout out to the original Xbox was actually near the end of its tenure before the 360 started rolling out, which is Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth.
Oh yeah.
That game did not get much heralded press and did not get a whole lot of attention at that time. But I think it's kind of grown into a cult classic now, and I loved it. That game terrified me.
Yeah.
That the first few hours of the game, you have no weapons, you have no idea what's going on, you're asking all these questions, and then you have the famous Innsmouth hotel scene where you're running and locking doors and moving furniture in the way. I actually, you know, being mid-20s at the time or early 20s,
was kind of nervous during that whole segment because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, and can I make that jump or not? Did I forget to lock that door? You know, I was actually really weirded out by that game, and then when the game turned into more and more of a horror story type situation and you started seeing more of the Lovecraft elements, it got really good. So I think that game's underrated for what it was worth, and I definitely want to give that game a shout out.
Holy shit, that's a Bethesda game. Oh, never mind, they published it.
The company that made it only made one other game, Simon the Sorcerer, in 2002, and then they folded.
Dude,
sad.
Sad.
It is sad.
Obviously, something is wrong, because Metacritic has it rated at a 76.
Well, and again, it's one of those, I think it suffered from people probably picked the game up, if they picked it up, and they saw, oh, it's a first-person shooter. And it's not. Not even close. Even freaking close. And if you went into it and you thought that and you were disappointed by the game, one, you're an idiot. and two, you missed out on probably one of the most well-crafted video game tales in this genre. Plain and simple. And that's comparing it to the likes of, Eternal Darkness. I mean, just it was that good. And if you like H.P. Lovecraft, you loved this game. And if you didn't, again, you're an idiot.
I think that was probably PC primary platform game. Yeah. I mean, if I remember at the time, that was like
Steam right now for $10.
98 or 99.
Yeah, get it now. If you have not gotten this game, get it now.
Play it in the dark. Seriously.
Yeah.
When it launched, though, wasn't it? If I recall, it was super buggy. Like that was like a huge problem. Was there was a ton of shit that would just break.
I never really experienced that on the Xbox.
PC version. I do recall it.
And I don't think I tried it after the patch, so I never actually finished the game because of some issues.
One of the scariest moments, and I don't want to give too much away. One of the scariest moments is kind of right before that hotel scene, and you kind of tracked all these clues to this guy's house, and his daughter answers the door, and she goes to coloring, and you start talking to her, and you hear this noise in the attic, and she's like, oh, that's mommy, daddy locks her away.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was kind of like, what? Yeah. So of course, you know, you have to go up there and see for yourself what happens. And then when that happens, I'll tell you, you know, that Modern Warfare shocking scene where the kid supposedly gets blown up by that truck or whatever, it pales in comparison to, like, what that content actually happens after that.
Yeah.
Because I remember just standing there going, I actually felt bad about the whole situation.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that is, wow, I did forget about that. That's actually...
Oh, I want to play this game chilling. Again.
Yeah, you should. No, the game is chilling throughout. I mean, it's an amazing game. There's some really cool set piece, not battles, but set piece scenes, especially one out in the ocean. And I'm not going to go into it too much, but
all this is coming back to me now.
Yeah, awesome scene.
See, this part of the show was supposed to not add to my queue. These are supposed to be.
I'm serious. Go out and get this.
I know you are. Not...
Oh my gosh, I'm so like upset, even though I have no reason to be. Because nobody played it.
I loved that game, and you know, you know what's special about that game is it's first person survival horror or whatever, but it had diversity in the game. Like in the beginning, it's all investigative, and you're trying to figure out what's kind of going on, and the more you uncover, the more uneasy you become, and then it's like this big chase scene. You're kind of a fugitive situation, and then you're kind of like it's all of a sudden kind of an action game, and then it goes back into Lovecraft, and it's just it had a lot of diversity in it that just kept it fresh throughout the whole process while maintaining somehow the atmosphere of where you were at and what you were doing.
Yeah, I gotta play that. For you gentlemen, I'm going to post my first threesome while I discuss it a little bit first. So I'm going to describe the link that you can see in the notes and that these guys are taking a look at now. But came across this in one of my news feeds, and another weird Japanese cuddling item is the robot bear that apparently helps for those of us that have snoring issues. You can fall asleep on the bear, and it kind of wraps its arms around you and looks like a cuddle buddy. But when you...
What's he holding in his hand? He's got like a remote control that's like another little... It's like a little dog or something. I don't even know.
It apparently detects...
the laziest teddy bear I've ever seen. It's like, I'm done.
It's got like a little baby dog, or it's a bear, that's like drinking out of like a milk bottle, and he's got his thumb up its ass that's determining when the bear needs to stroke his fucking face. This is the most, this is the weirdest shit I've ever seen.
So apparently the bear, when the bear detects that you're snoring, it goes to tickle you to get you to not wake up, but still move your head so you stop snoring.
Like, oh, that would just piss me off.
The bear is like laying down on its back with his head tilted back, just like it's lay, and you like lay across its like stomach.
Yeah.
And then it just like strokes your head. This is what the hell?
Yep, pretty creepy.
I need this thing when I'm like failing bad at a game. I just need a pat on the back or a gentle rub. That
other buddy, other buddy bears that they could.
You could position this in other ways. Okay.
So there's that, and
I think that's the end of the show. You can't follow up. That's ridiculous.
Oh man.
Moving on to some music stuff. Childish Gambino, finally listened to his album on Spotify. I'm a big Community / Donald Glover fan, and I tried listening to either like an early leak or something else from Childish Gambino, which is his rap project, a while back, and I just didn't get it. Like, I think I wanted it to be a comedy album, like the SNL guys or Sandler or something, like a comedy rap album, and it wasn't. He's actually a pretty talented rapper, and his song Bonfire is both very well done and still pretty funny, but not in the, like, serious funny, not like he's a jokester. And so once I started taking the album seriously, I started to really enjoy it. So I came around on Gambino, and of course Cole's not here to back me up on that one. So anyway, my Xbox game that I want to give a shout out to is the other reason I bought an Xbox. I was a long time Xbox holdout. Hell, I was a Nintendo fanboy. It took me forever to cave to get a PS2. That became my primary console. And towards the end of the PS2, I finally bought an Xbox. And one of the other, the second game I wanted to get was Ninja Gaiden. And it is the game I associate with that platform now. And there was just something about the kind of return to form as far as how difficult that game was. And it was one of the first games in a while that I wanted to try to conquer. I wanted to get skillfully better at the game, and I sucked at it to begin with, and by the end I got pretty decent. I did not like any of the sequels to Ninja Gaiden, but that first one was a pretty awesome return to form.
I played that was hell out of that game.
It was hard as hell.
I did, and you know what? That was one of the first games I've ever actually pre-ordered. I was so excited for Ninja Gaiden.
I loved how mature it was too, as far as the blood and all that stuff. So, it was like a really satisfying Xbox game to own. It was just, I don't know. It was when people were really starting to push that hardware and games were actually looking a half step ahead of the PS2. And, so that's kind of when I came to the Xbox, and I just really, I don't know. I don't know if I was, I can't remember the rest of the games around that era, but it did seem like games were getting kind of soft, and this was one of the first ones to kind of go old school with its difficulty. So it's kind of cool. Josh, let's go to your threesomes.
All right. My first thing is kind of, so wait, why is there laughing?
Just, you were so tired and just.
Threesomes. I'm thinking about turkey,
and it's making me sleepy.
Josh Lee mustered his threesomes discussion only to struggle. Does that make you feel better?
A little bit. Yeah, it motivates you.
So last weekend, unfortunately, I was at I had to be well. It wasn't for I didn't mind being there. That sounds terrible. A little guy was in the hospital, or still is actually at Riley, and laid up in the bed and not doing so hot. We were visiting, and I got to see, though, the healing power of video games in action, in person. And after our recent charity event, I was extremely proud of you know, just knowing that we were, you know, and all the people that donated were, like, part of what I was witnessing right there in front of me, which was you know, a five-year-old playing video games, and during that game session, kind of forgetting exactly what was going on around him and to him, and seeing a smile, seeing him interact with everyone, you know, instead of just, you know, being kind of down. I mean, I was kind of emotional, actually. I mean, you know, some people might think that's kind of goofy. It's like, oh, kids play games, whatever. But yeah, you have to, if you don't, you know, if you haven't seen it, I guess, happen, it's like, it's so, I can't imagine being a kid and being in that situation. And like, I know it's gotta be the scariest thing. And just to be able to do something that just takes you to another place. And we played some co-op Mario Brothers Wii. And that it was fantastic. And this room he was in, and got to give it up to Riley for this, because they there were two TVs. There was one for the people that are, you know, hanging out, parents and stuff. But there was, right there in front of the kid, is a gigantic LCD screen with a Wii, and you can, like, basically check games in and out from, like, the front desk. And they were, like, bringing in toys and stuff, too. It was pretty cool. But just seeing that in action, I thought was fantastic, and I thought y'all should hear that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty wonderful.
So, nothing there. That's it.
No.
I was thinking about it. I was kind of getting moved by it. I'll be honest. I have nothing smart alecky to say about that. That's, games do help. I mean, you know, for I just remember that I had a roommate that had cerebral palsy, and that was his escape, you know, and there's a lot to games, and there's just so much negativity out there about them by the people that don't play them. And if they just had the opportunity to see situations like what Josh described, or what, you know, what I've seen, you know, they just have a much better feeling about it. So no, that's good stuff. That, yeah, what, you know, again, what we did a few weeks back does, it is really something to be proud of. And sometimes, you know, we lose sight of that kind of stuff, but definitely good stuff going on.
Yeah, that was, it just gave me ultimate perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
I think everyone loses sight about that side of, you know, what gaming provides, though. I mean, it's so easy to just latch on to the negative stuff, because that's what sells, you know. Video games made boy kill mother, you know, that's what sells, and that's what they want to talk about, not video games helps boy have relief from cancer, or, you know, they don't talk about that outlet that they can give you. It's as much as reading a book or, you know, watching a movie, and you just forget the crap that you have to deal with. And that, I think that's what it is the negative sells. You're much more likely to stop when you see video game causes X, when it's a horrible thing, than when it is a positive story.
Yeah. I mean, how many kids had video games help them through just crappy childhoods in general, you know, like, mm-hmm. abusive parents and stuff like that, and then, like, you need an escape.
It's helping me through a crappy adulthood, tell you what.
So, oh, anyways, so there was that, and that's the feel good story of the night, I guess. And then I got two new gadgety things, which I'll just mention here. I got a monitor. I kind of I had a use for an old one, basically to sell it to someone else. And then, so I took this opportunity to get a 16:9 screen so I could do some more, hook up a, you know, a console to it as well. Just kind of double as like a TV in the office. And it's a 27-inch planar. Like, they're like really popular in like hospitals and stuff and other businesses. I'd never used any of their stuff before, but they get some good marks online. And this monitor is definitely fantastic. And for $250 off Dell, it was just about a steal. So that's cool. And then I got a new camera. Our point and shoot, we've had two point and shoots get broken, which is, now that I'm saying it out loud, I think maybe it was a terrible idea to buy a nicer camera. Kylie dropped one in the ocean, and then the other one mysteriously stopped working right one day when she had it. I'm wondering. So, but we bought a Canon T2i from Canon's loyalty program. If you've got a broken Canon camera, you can send it in for 20% off any of the refurbished products directly from Canon. And so we got a T2i for a song. And this is our first time we've had like a real SLR. And I'm just learning how to use it. But looking forward to capturing some memories kind of from here on out, because I don't have a lot of pictures or video of much of anything in my life. And I'd like to change that. And at some point when I have kids, I want them to have some memories of us and them and stuff when they're young. So gonna hopefully get into that a little bit more. And also this will be our new camera for our live podcasts as well.
Oh, cool.
As it sends out a very clean 1080 signal.
I think I've found like the more convenient gadgets I have, the less I'm using them. And it's just kind of funny you mentioned I don't use cameras, or let alone video cameras. Like, you know, I remember my dad just abusing us with having cameras on us at all times. And it seems like it would be easier to do that with everything that we have, but I've definitely grown away from it as well. And, would kind of like to change that. So, good on you, sir.
Yeah,
my wife and I are really bad about that. We'll take a camera to some event or something, you know, going on, and then probably 3/4 of the way through or when it's over, we'll go, oh shit, did you get the camera out?
Yeah.
Do we have memories of that other than status updates?
Yeah. Well, I updated it on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just get my Facebook feed to my kids when they're
that's why
the time. This was your life.
Why, Dad, you talked about Skyrim for 14 months.
Yeah, that was your life. You didn't see much of your dad for 14 months.
You were conceived during a game of Skyrim. Your mother's name is Lydia.
And let's just say she backed that ass up.
Well, I snuck my arrows into her. Okay, Xbox shout out is Metal Wolf Chaos.
I don't know this game.
Well, you know, there's a good reason for that. From Software, the makers of such classic hits as Kingsfield and Armor Core 3.
And Dark Souls.
Demon Souls and, yeah, and some, you know, other stuff. But and Chrome Hounds. Actually, that mech game pedigree is kind of important here, because this was a Japanese game. You could import this if you had a modded Xbox or a Japanese Xbox.
Yeah.
But it had full English dialogue, so there was like no reason to not import this thing. It featured, you played as the President of the United States, the Vice President Richard Hawke, made a play for like a coup against the president by taking a bunch of these armed forces and I think there was some other situation going on, like there was some kind of war going on, and he used that situation to his advantage, saying like the president was too soft, whatever, and I'm taking over, and he, so he commands a bunch of the armed forces, and he takes over, like this is the very beginning of the game, he takes over like the White House with force. And so then, like your like secretary is like, Mr. President, the vice president is taking over this shit, and he's like, he's like Harrison Ford, Air Force One kind of president, and so he jumps into a giant mech at the basement of the White House, exits through like the what's the pool called, the Washington Monument?
Sure.
He's cool. Yeah, sure. So he pops up out of there, and you have this like showdown. Vice president's in like a Black Hawk helicopter, and he's like hanging on to the side, of, like leaning out. It's like ties flapping in the wind. He's like talking shit. And you have to like escape after you blow up all these tanks and stuff on the White House front lawn.
Ethan, you need to go work for From Software.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wow.
And you like escape, and then the rest of the game is you're fighting for to take the United States back. As the
that
best.
Is wild.
It was the best fucking game that no one ever played.
I was gonna say, because isn't Japanese only Xbox game an oxymoron?
I know, and it was about the president of the United States.
Yeah, and it was in English. What a weird Japanese only game. Like,
super weird.
Who the fuck was this audience? Like,
it was fun too. Like, it was good.
The audience is Ethan, but he can't get to it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
That's thank you, Josh Lee.
If you ever want to play this game, I've still got it.
A very enlightening threesome. So Ethan, you've got some tough shoes to fill here.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna fill them.
Set the bar low. Good work.
One of them's really good. The other ones are pretty okay. I watched Crazy Stupid Love last night with my wife, because that's what you do with your wife, is you watch movies about love. It was a little bit crazy, kind of stupid, and I loved it. I did actually. It was a pretty good movie. It wasn't laugh out loud funny, but there was a lot of funny situations. Some pretty decent characters. Emma Stone, bangable as far as I'm concerned.
Going out on a limb here.
Yeah. I recommend it. That's a good bundle night movie to watch. So check it out. Why not? I don't know how many of you like sketch comedy. I'm assuming all of you do. Has anybody heard of Channel 101?
Oh, I love Channel 101.
If you don't know about Channel 101 and you like to laugh, then you don't like to laugh, because you've never heard of Channel 101. Absolutely hilarious. The setup is... basically, people can submit these videos, and they're voted on, and you know, if you make it to the next round, then you make another episode, and you just go from there, and you just go to the website. I don't want to explain it. Hilarious. Right now, my favorite video on there is Gumball. Just because my sense of humor is a little bit odd, a little bit out there, and this is exactly that. But you know, the Lonely Island Boys actually have kind of got their start on Channel 101. Andy Samberg and gang, you know, that they came from here. So if you want to see some, if you basically want to know who's going to be on the cast of Saturday Night Live in like the next 5 years, or whoever who's going to be making the next, you know, funny indie comedy, this site, go check it out.
Well, but even guys that are already famous sometimes show up in some of those shows, and not in like a big celebrity cameo way either.
Yeah.
Back in like the Bill Murray, Aykroyd days, wasn't there another group from like Chicago that kind of was this farm club for SNL? You know what I'm talking about? This has happened before, is kind of all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it looks like the comedy troupe has changed, where they get from.
Well, but this thing is like anyone can submit videos, and there's like a panel that votes on what becomes a show, and then you keep making episodes of your show, and every week you get voted. It's like you get voted off the island, or you get to stay based on like user feedback and this whatever elected, you know, this the video senate or whatever. Gotcha. Says. Yeah, man, I'm glad someone else discovered Channel 101, because there's two shows you got to check out. One is Computer Man, and it's Jack Black. He wears a CRT monitor like casing on his head, and he walks around with his underwear on, and that's it. And he like plugs into things and computes. And there's cables like he plugs into his ass. It's Jack Black, you know, being Jack Black, so it's really funny. And he even sings the theme song. The other's Dohar.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Dohar is good.
Dude. God damn, Dohar's Dohar.
Really good. Really
like
good intro.
Beastmaster with a $5 budget.
Yeah. Well, and another one is Cautionary Tale of Swords. Actually, that's probably my favorite one on there right now. And The Boo, which again is a Lonely Island guys.
That one's hilarious.
One of the longer running series on Channel 101. But I mean, there's something for everybody there, you know. And some of it is funny. There's a few things like a series that I really like called Everything that's just really short. Not, I don't want to say artsy as much as I'd say experimental films. But again, for people that really are interested in doing films and wondering what they can do with it once they've made it, as opposed to just going to YouTube, definitely, you know, go in this direction. There's some really good stuff on there.
Cool.
My Xbox game is PsyOps, because Brandon took my other one that I talked about. PsyOps actually was really good. It was another one of those games that I think was the first time that I really had access to, you know, telepathy and pyrokinesis and all that fun mentally fueled superpowers. And you know, it had some good mechanics, had some good shooting. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. You could unlock Scorpion as a skin and play around like that. So I actually wrote a Remake It So on this game, because I think this game has a lot of potential to find its way into this generation. You know, kind of coming off the coattails of the, you know, the prototypes and the Infamous in terms of having a lot of, you know, superpowers and kind of taking on a huge city. This game would be awesome in terms of a sandbox, but I just really interesting concepts and it kind of felt a little ahead of its time, not in terms of how the gameplay mechanics actually function, but in terms of what they were attempting to do. Cool. So I don't know if it'd be a fun game now, though, you know, with technology and all. But if you do have the chance to go back in time, because that's the best time to play it, do so and play this game.
That's how I want to use my like 2 hours of DeLorean time. It's going to be playing fucking PsyOps.
That might actually be an interesting theme for a podcast of, if you could go back in time to a specific year in video games and know which games are great without knowledge of games further down the road, so you could play these and enjoy them. Yeah, that could sounds be like some existential shit. All right, fellas, thanks for joining me this evening. I think that's gonna do it. The Horrible Show will be back next week with another episode, and be sure to RSVP for the Horrible Night Out. The link is up on horriblenight.com. If you've got any questions for the show, hit us up on our contact form. Otherwise, we will see you next week. And
happy Thanksgiving.
Happy turkey eating. See ya.
Ah.
I was going to say chicken?
Oh, yeah.